For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, great to be with you on a day that's starting to, the sun's coming out. Good morning. Now, middle of October, so you know it's getting colder and colder by the day, but it's all right. Got a football season in which a 3-2 squad's got a shot, even though they haven't looked great this year. We'll talk more about that with Mike Quick coming up in a couple minutes. Look, the Flyers probably aren't going to be anything special this year, but they may really finally have a really special player. If you missed it late last night, Mishkov, and it was actually pretty early in the game, not one, but two goals. Now, the first goal, unfortunately, was one of those ones where it's not a great call by the announcer because immediately the announcers, and it wasn't a Jim Jackson game, it was a national game, immediately the announcers knew that this play was going under review. So that completely submarines what could have been a great call for Mishkov's first goal. But two goals. Another one right after that. Let's listen to goal number 10.
Trying to soak off 20 more seconds. Konechny moved it back. Frost steers it on. They score! Mishkov again! His second tonight! And Philly's off to a hot start in Edmonton.
Pretty cool, man. Two goals in your third NHL awesome. Game. That's good stuff. It's been a really great start. Even when he wasn't scoring the first two games, you know, you see the creativity. So well done by him, and hopefully exciting times ahead for them. All right, let's go to the phones. Mike Quick with us shortly. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing all right, Ken.
Fantastic.
How about you?
I woke up this morning, so that's the best way to start the day.
Good work.
Joe, let's face it, okay? Any monument to you is going to be in a bathroom somewhere, okay? So let's just be real.
That's a good point.
Well, I'll say this.
Porcelain should be incorporated.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Ken. I just did something I normally don't do during the show, and that's eat a Twix.
I'm going to step away for a moment, literally to go to the bathroom.
Because around 10:30, that bidet is waiting for me. All right?
Oh, God. See, hold on.
Wait,
you can't eat a Twix without knowing that...
It generally causes issues.
Stop.
No, that's why I waited until 9 o'clock. If I did it at 7 o'clock, it would have been a different deal. Me and the bidet are timed up.
It does not seem like...
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, God.
Wow. It does not seem like there's much going on with eating a Twix.
John,
that
you
should
don't,
cause this.
You don't know.
I could eat... 20 Twix.
IBS is real. There are thousands of people listening right now. Thousands that know all about IBS. Just because you're not one of them, John, it's okay.
I cannot imagine
Twix. There's no way that would cause discomfort or any sort of
movement. I call it movement.
Can I just ask one question, Joe?
Yeah.
So when are you planning to eat the Twix?
I've eaten most of it. I got a smidgen left.
Okay. What happens if you get into a traffic jam on the way home?
Oh, good question, Rhea.
Well,
great question.
Look,
yeah, you can't control that.
I've got to question your time management.
I'll give you an NCAA tournament reference. You survive in advance. You got to find a way.
Find the nearest McDonald's.
Even if you got to be a Cinderella. All right, Ken, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ken. Go ahead.
If I was a member of the media like Joe Conklin, the follow-up question would be, does the bidet make the notorious list of things to do today that you keep on your notepad?
I don't know. But I got a lot.
Got a lot
of other things on that notepad. Anyway.
That was really funny, Ken. That was great.
Ken, you're going to replace Conklin soon. You're on fire.
Ken, you're part of the media now.
Part of the media too, I guess. So listen, before I get to the press conference yesterday, because it was cringeworthy in every way, just about Nick Sirianni real fast. Here's something I think we all have to agree upon. If we're going to spend the entire summer saying the guy has no power, no authority, he's been stripped of everything, he's a glorified cheerleader, then you don't get to spend the rest of the season blaming him for everything because it's not going right. It can't be both. It's one or the other. So can we at least agree on a little bit of intellectual honesty if we're going to continue to critique Nick Sirianni the rest of the season?
Well, we certainly aim for intellectual honesty.
I mean,
that is what we're going for.
Say, yeah. But, it's sports talk radio. But
Look, we give you our honest opinion. I mean, that I can tell you for sure. We give you our honest opinion. And callers, I think, give their honest opinions. And the reality is humans don't always agree.
Well, on Dombrowski, yes, I can tell you what is not a feel-good story is that John Middleton already has my money for next year. And that press conference could have been summed up if Topper and Dombrowski basically walked to the dais and just put up a little sign that said, hey, that's baseball. Because that's essentially what we heard.
Yeah, that is basically what they said. That's right.
It's baseball. So
is that totally wrong, though, Ken?
Well, if that's all you're going to say, why have the press conference, right?
Well, they said more than just that. But I get that. You're right. I mean, that's a good way to sum up the way it was presented.
What I'm hoping is, look, if you're looking to potentially move some of these people for whoever might actually want Austin Hayes, you can't go out in a press conference and say, well, look, we made a mistake.
Well, sure.
And we didn't realize that, right?
Howie's the one that's been under that microscope the most through the years. It's tough when you speak before the moves happen. You know, you don't want to dog a guy you're about to get rid of. All right, Ken, give me a great answer. What is a feel-good story?
This was one of the few guys in sports that was just hard to root against, even when he played for the New York Yankees. 1993, Jim Abbott, born without a right hand.
Oh, wow, great answer.
That's a great answer. Am I writing down the no-hitter or just him in general?
Well, him in general, but the no-hitter in 1993.
All right.
Pretty remarkable.
Look, we could have the Jim Abbott thing versus the Mo Cheeks.
Yeah, those are my two favorites so
national
far.
Anthem.
Totally
those are
agree.
Good answers. Speaking of answers, we'll get some answers here from Mr. Mike Quick.
Mike Quick, sponsored by the Bet Parks online casino and sportsbook. New users can score up to $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan. Gambling problem, call 1-800.
All right, so the New York Yankees were just referenced. I'll give you a Yankees reference by way of Simon and Garfunkel and connect it to the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles, we turn our lonely eyes to you, not to Joe DiMaggio. But to the Eagles. Mike, good morning. Mike, we need the Eagles in the next couple months. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody?
Good, pal. How are you, Mike?
Doing great.
So, Mike,
fantastic.
You know, this is part of why we have the Eagles. I mean, the Phils are done. They typically are at this time. I mean, I'm saying through the years. Yeah. And the Eagles have a great opportunity. I mean, this is an opportunity to grab the town and thrill people, but you know, lately they haven't played great, and I just hope, Mike, they can put a charge into this season because it's not a great division, it's not a great conference, and if they can play better football, they can still make something of the season.
Yeah, and you know, they've had enough games now to start to pull it together and kind of we all need to understand who they are, and I think we're getting there. I think the quarterback is rounding into shape. The offensive line, you know, that's pretty much a constant. But I heard you guys talking about, you know, the play calling a little bit. So I think all of these things take time. And I think in the age that we're in now where you really don't do much in training camps other than try and learn what the assignments are, when you get into the strategies of games, that's the thing that really takes you over the top. And without having full contact, full you know, strategy against you and you matching those strategies, it's really hard, especially in a new offense, new defense, to see how everything comes together until you have some time on task.
So we've had time on task, kind of, and we're the only team in the league who hasn't scored in the first quarter. Why is that? You know, we're now entering week 7.
Yeah.
We're the only team who hasn't scored in the first quarter. That's not good. Like, why are we so behind?
It's probably one of the biggest questions in football, in the National Football League right now. And I'm certainly not the one who's going to give you the answer, but there are lots of mistakes. The filling out process, it just needs to happen a whole lot sooner. Like, figuring out what they're doing against you and figuring out how to attack them. And, John, usually that's something that you're able to do during the course of the week in your preparation, understanding what teams are going to do based on the personnel group that you have on the field, based on the formations, have a really good idea of what teams are going to do, and you attack that.
Yeah.
Eagles haven't been successful enough in doing that. And, yeah, you have the little setbacks with the pre-snap penalties and such, but – that's an area where they have to be a whole lot better in game planning, understanding what teams are going to do, and attack what these teams are going to do.
How tough is it to game plan against Jim Schwartz? You know, he was the defensive coordinator that Browns team. He's been around the block a few times. Is that part of the problem? Did Jim Schwartz just out game plan us in this one? I mean, I'm talking like we lost the game.
Well,
here.
It was dissatisfying to beat such a lousy team by such a small margin.
Why didn't we produce more? Yeah, essentially.
But it was very dissatisfying to see that the team couldn't go down and score in the first quarter. I completely agree. And they don't do the Browns, they do what they do. They play a lot of man coverage, and they give you opportunities to beat man routes. And the Eagles knew that going into the game. And like you guys, I thought they should have been better prepared to attack that.
Mm-hmm. But you're not worried about these slow starts, Mike? It sounds like, where do you stand? How good is this team? How good are our Eagles?
Still a big question. And I'm not sure if they are as good as I thought coming into the season. As I watched things unfold, I expected more out of this football team. So I just don't know how good they are.
Yeah.
I really don't.
We're clearly trying to figure, you know, Mike, we had a poll yesterday and close to 80% of people said they're average. I think that's probably accurate, but look, they have a shot to still be above or below. We'll see in the end how it shakes out. Mike, let's talk about A.J. Brown for a moment. You know, you were an incredible star wide receiver for this team. I marvel at A.J. Brown, Mike. Now, you know, Mike, you know me. I mean, you've known me pretty well now for a few years.
The hammer!
Does nothing but ask the tough questions, right? You know that, Mike.
Yeah, the hammer.
Now, how could there be a tough question related to A.J. Brown? I mean, what's tough? Here's where it gets tough, Mike, and maybe even uncomfortable for you, but that's my style. Rank them. Carmichael, Quick, Owens, Brown. Remember, does nothing but ask the tough questions. Harold Carmichael, Michael Quick, Terrell Owens, A.J. Brown. Mike Quick, the floor is yours.
Let's see. I'm gonna go. I have to put T.O. and A.J. like side by side at the very top. And Carmichael, then Quick.
You know, you're a good man, Mike.
You are a good man.
If you want to see real humility, there it is, Mike, on display.
Man. You're a good man. You're a great human, hey, Mike.
Mike, I have a...
That is an honest answer.
That's,
I just like T.O. and A.J., they were monsters at the position. You couldn't guard those guys, and they just dominated their position. Harold Carmichael did the same.
Yeah.
He was dominant at the position. That's the way I would rank those four players.
That's really interesting, man. Really, yes.
So, Mike, how much does it matter that we're not going under center anywhere close to as much as what I would have hoped, what I would have expected? This certainly worked the other way. I saw, like, early in Brazil, it felt like, okay, oh, wow, we are under center. We can go under center. And then it's almost like we got away from it. Since, how do you feel about that? How big a problem is that? Do you expect that we will get more under center? How much will it help?
So I'm hopeful like you that we have more under center because I think it helps tremendously in the passing game. I do believe that you take away a lot from your passing game when you don't have a play-action element, and the play-action element is so much more important, so much more effective when you have quarterback under center. When you've got the running backs that the Eagles have and you're able to run the ball with this offensive line, play action has to be a big part of what you do, and play action under center works better than play action when you're in a pistol or in any of these other formations.
Yeah, I hope we see more. I really do. Mike, love having you on the show, my man. Stay well, and we'll talk next week. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, there he is, Mike Quick. What's up with the phone there?
Yeah, that was a little annoying. It was like nonstop. Like, oh, God.
Does that get annoying?
It was like a water, it was like a water torture.
Yeah. It was.
What is going on here?
It's like John Ritchie's nightmare. I know Ritchie hates repetitive sounds.
Totally.
I know.
So does the water torture thing really make someone go insane?
Yes.
I mean, it can't be, from what I understand. Well, it can't be as bad as being Mel Gibson at the end of Braveheart.
It's constantly drowning. Like, you're constantly drowning. You constantly feel like you're drowning. Like, you're over, like, I drowned.
Okay,
like,
so
that's the whole point of water torture.
No, it's two different things. You're talking about waterboarding, James. I'm talking about drop.
I didn't know that was a form of torture.
That's a form of torture? Drop. I thought water torture was waterboarding.
Yeah, I did too.
No, I believe
That's very aggressive.
Yeah.
No, waterboarding and water torture, I believe, are two different things.
So water torture is you just drop some water?
It doesn't seem too bad.
Like, I feel like I'd be all right with that.
I think I could hold up. Yes.
Like, maybe, it's getting a little annoying. Sorry.
I like water. And then every once in a while, like, if you get thirsty, you just, like, tilt your head back a little bit at a different angle and you can drink.
Is this really a form of torture?
I don't think it really
I don't think it is.
You know what we should?
I don't know.
We should ask
about
this. We should ask Conklin as a member of the media. He would probably know.
He could dig deep. Only he could dig deep as a media member.
The first caller to answer the question is Joe Conklin, a member of the media. Your answer will be the answer for all time.
So it is. You're right about this.
What?
Slowly dripped onto the scalp, forehead, or face for a prolonged period of time. Yeah. The process causes fear and mental deterioration on the subject.
Nah.
The pattern of drops are often irregular. The cold sensation is jarring, which causes anxiety.
I should not be scoffing at this because I'm sure it must have been used.
Yeah, I'm reading Wikipedia.
I'm just saying, I'd rather have that happen to me than be William Wallace at the end of Braveheart.
I know. If I get afforded the choice, I'll take this one.
So there is very little evidence pertaining to the effectiveness of it. This is the gentlest torture ever planned.
Okay. Let's talk to Jim right now. Jim! Jimmy.
Hello?
What's up, buddy?
Hello, Jim.
Hey, how are you guys? How's everybody doing?
Great. Are you delayed? Sounds like we're in some sort of vortex where you're delayed. You're 2 seconds behind us.
Oh, I'm so sorry for that. I'm up on Long Island. Maybe the reception isn't great, but thanks for taking the call. St. Joe's prep grad, Joe, so go prep.
Absolutely. Hold on. Even Mark Zumoff knows. You are a gentleman, a scholar, and Jim, a man for others.
Hey, Jim, you know, if you were at school with Joe, I bet you wouldn't have been friends.
Well, that's probably true. I was kind of a horse's honey. That's all right. That's all right. All right, Jim.
Shocking.
All right, Jim, give me what you got. Eagles, Phils, Sixers, Flyers. What do you got here today, bud?
We're talking Eagles today. You know, all of my clients here are primarily Giants fans. So, you know, I want the Eagles to win each and every week, but particularly this week. And I'm just so frustrated because I, you know, watch all the games and I just really think, you know, a couple of the people that you had on the phones today were just like, you know, we have a top five running back, we have a top five receiver, we have a top five tight end, we have a good line. I just feel like we need to run the ball. Like, Saquon needs to, like, you know, the fourth and four on in the Falcons game, they go for it. They don't kick a field goal. I think it really comes down to the coaching. I think you just simplify it. You run the ball, and if Saquon gets north of 20 carries, he's just going to wear out a team and break one. I saw it happen at Penn State. I saw it happen on the Giants.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I agree with you, Jim.
It happened on the Eagles. I think that the defense is good enough. And what I ask myself all is, you know, does this team have the potential to win a Super Bowl? And I think the answer is yes. I think when I ask myself, can Nick Sirianni lead this team to a Super Bowl? I think the answer is no. So I know that Lori and Howie are very loyal, but after what happened last year with 10-1, 11-1, and then just, you know, getting into the playoffs and that season kind of collapsing, I mean, I feel like that Falcons game, if you have, you know, a Harbaugh coach in that game, if you have Andy Reid coaching that game, I think that's a win 99 out of 100 times, maybe 100 times out of 100 times. But, I, you know, optimistically, I mean, we're 3-2, we're leading the division, and we're not playing great.
We're not leading the division.
And no.
All right, Jim, we got your points. Give me a great answer for a feel-good story. This is to win the two Flyers tickets to Saturday night's home opener.
Yeah, my favorite player of all time in Philadelphia sports history is the answer, Allen Iverson, and I'm a big believer in second chances. And I think, you know, Allen obviously had a horrific situation happen in high school. His mom, Ann Iverson, went to John Thompson. John Thompson somehow, some way, got him into Georgetown, and it changed his life. And, you know, I was living in the Ambler area, going to St. Joe's, and was along for the ride to watch Allen just, you know, whatever, 5'11", 165.
Yeah. It's a nice answer, Jim. It's a good answer.
I don't know if it's a feel-good story.
Well, the fact that he got, you know, I mean, that was a wild thing. I mean, the governor was involved. And look, the reality is, when you really study that situation,
he was
targeted by, you know, because he was the star and there's like 15, 20, 30 other people there.
No, that situation was a disgrace.
Yeah, that was.
No, I told her that totally was.
That was bad. All right, 215. There it is, a little Simon and Garfunkel action. If you've never seen The Graduate, you should. It's a great movie. All right, so Philly's made a decision, and that was to bring Rob Thompson back. And that's been on the table today as one of our many, and I think we've had about 17 different main discussion points. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. With October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away. We all hope for a cure. Always hope for a cure at ArminChevy.com. You can check out more. All right, so the poll question today, do you like the Phillies' decision to bring Rob Thompson back for next season? Yes or no? John, how do you think people vote it?
I'm going to say, I mean, I don't even know how you feel for sure about
No,
this.
I know how I feel. I would bring him back. I'm glad he's back.
62%. Are excited about it. Are positive.
72% say bring him back.
Okay.
Now, which is interesting because last week our poll was 51%.
Yeah.
It's always that way right after.
So 21% have changed in the last week.
That's
James, you
jump.
Were
softened.
You were okay. So Rhea, you were hardcore out.
Yeah.
James, you were.
I was on the line.
Yeah, are you now?
Like I would have probably moved on, certainly from Kevin Long or some part of the coaching staff. But
everybody's
like,
back, James.
I'm not super upset about Rob being back. Like, it's lower on my list of issues for the offseason than other things. But I probably would have changed it up. But I'm not super upset.
But
about
if it was your call, you would have sat out.
I probably would have sat out.
Devin?
I've always been in. I didn't think that it really fell on him. I mean, I think everyone played a small part. But I like Rob Thompson. I mean, they've gone the postseason three seasons in a row under him, so you can't really argue.
They
do
have a huge payroll, though, so you're supposed to. But
well,
but
yeah,
but look,
he's had three straight postseasons with whopper bad decisions.
Completely mismanaged the bullpen.
Whoppers, yeah. Like big time bad decisions in big time moments.
That's
not
wrong.
You were more mad at Rob Thompson after last year's postseason
and Wheeler the year before in 2022.
Much
well,
more.
Yeah, I don't think he mismanaged as much.
Well, the Hoffman thing I thought was just as bad.
But James, I'll say this: the Hoffmans of the world, and there were a bunch.
He didn't have as much time to mismanage, Devin.
Yeah, but those guys. I mean,
I agree. I blame the players more.
I mean, I blame the players more, but still,
bring him out a second time.
I was okay. I was uncomfortable, but okay with Hoffman starting the inning. The major mistake I thought he made was letting him face three batters before he got taken out.
When
he
clearly couldn't even get the ball across the plate.
Rhea, I agree. I totally
I'd check him for glasses before I'd let him come back and manage.
I get it.
It feels like they're erring too far on the side of the players need to do better. Like, I agree. The players do need to do better, But man, keeping the status
yes,
quo
how about a little accountability
else,
across the board?
Yes, let's hold the coaches accountable too. Something needs to change. Like that's normally what you see. Even if nothing needs to really change, something will change. Someone has to be like the
sacrificial lamb
to some degree. I thought for sure that was Kevin Long.
I did too.
And for some reason, it's not Kevin Long. I'm not an expert. I don't know who the right guy is to be the new Kevin Long, but someone needed to get axed for me to feel better that things are changing appropriately.
Well, look, I will say this to that point. The offseason just started.
I know.
And just because
not saying we bring in the whole coaching staff back and then firing someone.
No, but
there are changes on the roster.
They could change more players than you get the impression of
that,
yesterday.
Absolutely. But they're not changing
that
the coaches
happen,
at all.
Then, because a lot of things need to happen for me to feel better. Better the way I want to feel better.
Let's go from one team to the next. The Eagles. So Sirianni, obviously, it's been a mess lately. That is clear. You know, Jeff McClain's got a podcast with our company, Odyssey, and he went into reporting mode yesterday during that podcast with two different points that I want to present this because it's interesting. Reporting of what he has heard about what the Eagles are thinking. We'll go in sequence here. Let's listen to the first of what McClain reported.
For as loud as the critical voices were outside the Eagles, I found a similar sentiment within the organization. Embarrassing is how two team officials labeled it to me when asked specifically for their reactions to Sirianni's behavior.
All right, so two people within the Eagles call it embarrassing. So, you know, it's... All right, let's listen to the second of... Because, you know, McClain's talking about more than just pure reporting, but then there are elements where it's like he puts the reporter hat on, here's what he hears... Here's what he knows. Here's what he reports. Here's what he said.
Sirianni caused a 24-hour firestorm, and it was handled as such internally. Conversations were had within the building, and Sirianni came to the realization that he needed to issue a public apology.
All right. So
he came to the realization, or he was told about what the realization was.
He called a 24-hour code red.
Code red.
Who ordered the code red, Nick?
I might have done something wrong.
Hold on. Let me find it. Hold on. Here we go.
The truth.
That's
right. Hold on, one more.
You can't handle the truth.
Those two will never get old. Hold on, let's do a little. Remember this guy?
Can't wait.
That guy.
Bart Scott.
Hold on, even Peter Laviolette knows about the Eagles.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
All right, let's go.
Tell him, Peter.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Alan. Alan, what's going on, pal?
What is going on, everybody? How are you today?
Doing well, Alan.
What's it like to be named after a wrench?
Oh my
well,
God!
Well, actually, the wrench is named,
you're named after
me.
Coffee.
Oh, okay.
Good response,
right. Alan. Are you the same spelling as the wrench, or is it a different spelling?
No, they had to change it up because it was going to be a copyright. So.
There you go,
Alan, on fire.
You're good, man. I like this. Well done. Well done.
I have a question about the deadline the last few years with Dombrowski and. And I know they've mentioned like keeping the window open. And do you think there's anything to the idea that they're not going all out as a means to keep younger players, to keep the window open, fill seats and playoffs?
For sure. Alan, a million percent. Whether that's the right or wrong choice, that's clearly. I mean, let me put it this way, Alan. If 2024 was the last year in human existence, okay, they would have made trades.
But what I contend is that if you have trust in your brand new development and drafting group that have done a really good job so far, I would be all right trading prospects because you can draft more and develop more. That's what good teams do.
But I will say this. Look, I think the Phillies bungled it, and it's clear in hindsight they definitely did, Dombrowski. But there was trust by Dombrowski in the players that had established the best record in baseball, and that's not crazy talk. I mean, you know, like, it's like, think of it this way. In 1983, as you approach a basketball trade deadline, did you really need to add on to the 83 Sixers with the best record in basketball? You know what I mean? I mean, the Phillies were cruising. Now, by July 30th, it was obvious they weren't as good as they were on May 30th.
Right.
They still had the best record in baseball for a long time.
Yeah, but that only goes so far.
I know. I get it, man.
On another note, I think the reason Kevin Long kept his job is honestly majorly to lure Soto. I think that's a huge deal there for them. I think Kevin Long's relationship there, otherwise I think he would have been axed.
Well, maybe, but I'll tell you what my
approach and expect a different result.
Alan, here
it didn't feel like that at all.
Well, Alan. They're not going to say that.
No, they're not going to say that. Alan, here's my instincts. I could be wrong. Here's my instincts. They think he's a good coach, and they don't think he should take the fall if they think he's a good coach, if players let them all down. I mean, I got to tell you, Alan, for all the talk about Kevin Long, and what do I know whether he's a good hitting coach or not? I have no clue. I know this. Sure. Trey Turner let them down a lot more than Kevin Long did.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot more.
He's got to go to the outfield, too.
All right, Alan, give me a great answer. What's a feel-good story?
Can it be a personal experience for the story?
Unlikely to be voted for, but you can say it. Just make it short if you can.
In 08, I got to have my first – I live in North Carolina, born and raised. Mm-hmm. And in 08, I got to have my first trip to Citizens Bank Park with my dad.
Nice.
Got to see Jimmy Rollins lead off with a home run against the Red Sox. I got to see Howard hit two home runs. It was an amazing day. Years go by. I don't really have any opportunities to get back up to Philly. But for my 30th birthday in 21, my wife got my dad and myself tickets to come back to Citizens Bank Park. On August 27th, 21, they were playing the stupid Diamondbacks. And Gene Segura, man, that boy walked it off. I thought we were going to come out with a loss.
So you're 2-0. I like that, man. You're 2-0 at the ballpark. Well done, buddy. Good stuff. That's a feel good. Yeah, you get to the ballpark first time in your life. That's great. You know what's also great? Conklin. I mean, he's so unbelievable with what he does. And today, I thought this one was really good. Conklin goes Beach Boys today to sum up a lot of how we've been feeling, because we've been feeling down on the Philadelphia sports scene. And Joe nailed it on all four teams. Here's Conklin.
And the Eagles have been brought to their knees by the Tampa Bay Bucks.
The beat is still down.
And the Phillies are headed home.
Wouldn't it be nice if Sirianni had wisdom and didn't use his kids to shield himself? And wouldn't it be nice if Embiid stayed healthy? We wouldn't have to watch our chances melt. But as we watch the Birds and Phillies losing, seems the agony is never ending. Wouldn't it be nice if our big hitters delivered when it really counts the most? And then we all could celebrate together, championship back where it belongs. If only Jalen Hurts was so much better and Sirianni zipped it off. Every year we wish and hope and pray our bullpen might come through. And maybe then we wouldn't see another Thompson stupid move. And how about the Flyers? And how about the Flyers? Stanley Cup winners? Stanley Cup winners? Wouldn't it be nice? You know, it seems the more we talk about it, it's like we really wanna live without it. So let's talk about it. Wouldn't it be nice? 15, just call us. 592-9494. 215, just
call us. I love how he throws the phone number in at the end.
Look, that's what we do here at WIP, whether it's the bad or the good. I mean, we always say it's your chance to react. And look, Conklin's amazing. Make sure you see him any and every chance you get. He's obviously all around town. You can always book him for a private event at joeconklin.com. Don't forget that. You know, holiday season, you want to have a company party, right? You know, company party or just host friends in the basement of your home. That might be a little creepy. Maybe get him down there.
He'd be there. He'd show up.
No, but seriously, book Conklin, joeconklin.com, to book him for a private event. And remember, you can see the story of Philly sports through music with Joe Conklin and the City Rhythm Orchestra at Cherokee High School on Saturday, October 26th. Also at the Media Theater on State Street and Media on Saturday, November the 16th.
And it's Conklin's Comedy Night at Parks Casino tomorrow night. Taylor Mason from America's Got Talent. Show starts at 8. Tickets are $20, include a free drink. Tickets at joeconklin.com.
All right, let's do what we do every single day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours. It's brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. With Xfinity Mobile, customers now getting exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
The number one
telltale sign that your team is going downhill. They flex you back from a 4 o'clock game to a 1 p.m. Nobody watches games. Join the club, Eagles. You've arrived.
No, that's right. So if you don't know what he's talking about, it's the October 29th Eagles-Bengals game. It's been flexed down, and the caller's right.
Congrats to our comrade, Matvei Mietzkov, on his first multi-goal game in the National Hockey League. And many, many more to come.
Love it. Absolutely love that. Our comrade. I like it.
Okay, we'll go to Marcus Hayes and then Ruben Frank. Oh, wait. First, we'll go to Joe Conklin. Yeah, Coach, experts around the country are referring to you as a clown. Your behavior on and off the sideline has been labeled sophomoric. Your comment.
I got to tell you.
Way to go, Joe.
Here's what I'm feeling for tomorrow's show. I'm feeling for tomorrow's show, Twitter poll question of the day, is Joe Conklin a member
God,
of the media?
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Right? Wouldn't that be a fun one?
Because what I always love about the Twitter polls.
Because I don't know how people would vote.
No, the people who don't sometimes get the joke.
Yeah.
And the offended comments will be spectacular to read.
All right. With that, a funny time's yours. We shut it down.
The Times Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, three things here before we get out the door and turn it over to Joe and Hugh. And reminder, Joe and Hugh are going to air the Sirianni press conference. Is that noon today?
Noon, yes.
That's an interesting listen. The Wednesday press conference by Sirianni, typically not that interesting, something that we often don't air as a radio station.
I'm very interested.
But with everything going on, I would say, listen at noon, Sirianni.
Big week for press conferences.
Holy mackerel. You're not kidding. All right, a couple final things here. Thanks to Joe Wechter. We probably don't give him enough shout-outs, but he deserves them. You know, we have a lot of audio that's incorporated into our show, and it wouldn't be as such if Joe didn't get in here super early, do a great job getting it prepared for us, and I just want to give him a shout-out because he's wonderful at what he does.
He's the best.
Also, reminder, you can always go back and listen to interviews that happened on our show today, yesterday. So if you miss over the last two shows, Sirianni with us yesterday, Jaws with us yesterday, Sheil, Ross Tucker, Mike Quick with us today. It's all on the Odyssey app. Get the Odyssey app and listen to it all. All right.
And Joe Wechter puts those on there, too. So shout-out to Joe Wechter.
There you go. All right, we also got to come up with a winning answer for a feel-good story. I think I got it narrowed down to two. Mo Cheeks up on the little girl with the national anthem, and Jim Abbott having
those
a career.
Those are the two.
All right, James, you get first vote. They're tough. First vote.
Oh, man. I feel like I have to go Jim Abbott.
Okay, Rhea?
Mo Cheeks.
Devin?
Mo Cheeks.
Richie?
It's Mo.
Okay, Mo it is.
There you go. Wow,
Mo
over the
it.
Guy with one hand.
You know why? James, can I tell you why? Mo Cheeks, Philadelphia champion?
Correct, sure. Thank
Jim
you.
Jim Abbott, sure. Not a Philadelphia champion.
Right, that's
fair. No, they're both great stories. Hey, Kenny, congratulations. You win. That's a good win, man. You win the Flyers tickets for Saturday night's home opener. Everyone have a wonderful rest of the day.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.